Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, July 7th, 2014. In today's podcast, we journey back through the past to look at the Middle East from a historical perspective. And we observe that the world today seems to be building just as it did in 1914, exactly 100 years ago, building toward something, toward perhaps another big war. We have 100 years of history to guide us that those people did not have. We can look at what happened with them, how the world was developing, and we can see that there are troubles out there that threaten us today, threaten us with another big war. Although the people in 1914 had their history to look at too. Why didn't they see the Napoleonic Wars that ended just 100 years before that in 1814? Why didn't they remember the 30 Years' War? They didn't seem to. Sometimes you have to look at the past in order to see the present and the future. But today, in today's world, the United States, under orders from the Commander-in-Chief, has sent 500 U.S. Marines into Baghdad to guard the huge American embassy compound. 1,000 other Marines sit offshore in the Mediterranean on board the USS Bataan, awaiting orders to disembark. The USS George H.W. Bush sails the Persian Gulf along with its carrier battle group. Army intelligence tells us that it believes that ISIS, the Sunni group invading Iraq, is biding its time, infiltrating Baghdad, stockpiling weapons and supplies, and just lying low, in order to repeat the 1968 Tet Offensive, it is believed, i.e. attack the U.S. embassy, inflict mass casualties, psychologically destroy the U.S. will to continue resistance. The West, along with a coalition of Shia nations, are pouring aid to the Iraqis. Iran has troops in Iraq. Russia has sent fighter jets and attack aircraft. The U.S. has been trying to deliver F-16 jets, but ISIS keeps overrunning the airfields before they can land. The Pentagon says, quote, "We are very aware of the critical need," etc., etc., etc. "We are working quickly." They used the word quickly to deliver the orders already paid for. Russians work more quickly, it seems. They took the jets from their operational military units and delivered them within hours, along with mechanics and pilots. Iranian-flagged aircraft with Iranian pilots have also been delivered. Whether we think the U.S. should arm Iraq or participate in this war in any regard or not is another matter, but perhaps we will find some way under today's leadership to lose a war that has already been won. In the meantime, the 100th anniversary of World War I is not lost on us, as we said by way of introduction. The nations of the world are arming themselves for another big conflict. Russia, China, Japan, Iran, and many others race to play catch-up with the U.S., building ships, buying aircraft, developing new weapon systems. The U.S. helps them by selling advanced weapon systems and moving backward toward them, I suppose, to make the contest more fair. Being almost $18 trillion in debt with possibly another big war looming on the horizon doesn't help matters. The coming disaster is predictable, just as it was in 1914. Of course, as I said, we have the advantage on those in 1914 who did not see what was inevitably coming. We have history to guide us. Still, just as the Europeans did not learn from the 30 Years' War of 1618 to 1648 or the Napoleonic Wars of 1797 to 1814, we do not learn from our mistakes either. The French, who should have known better because they had experienced terrible mass casualties before the Napoleonic Wars only 100 years before. With a total population of 29 million, the French lost between 1.4 and 1.7 million men dead, about 23 to 28% of the total available manpower. History often offer similarities with today for us to learn from if we will just look at it. The Napoleonic Wars came immediately after the French Revolution, when the French had a complete change of leadership. The French Revolution ended in 1791, about 200 years before the fall of the Soviet Union, when the world underwent another change in leadership. Then the French kings were replaced with Napoleon, a non-royal and a new kind of leader. He made all kinds of comments about the unitary executive, about how he could rule by himself. He was an emperor. The Napoleonic Wars ended in 1814. 100 years later, the world threw itself into another abyss in 1914. It seems to happen in blocks of 100 years. Here we are, 2014, 100 years after World War I, and the whole thing seems to be starting again. I see many similarities with today. Similar leadership, except with far less ability. Similar ethnic hatreds fueling the conflicts around the world. Europe, i.e. the Ukraine and surrounding countries, as potential powder kegs, with the Middle East as the fuse already lit. On the other side of the world rearming there as well. Japan throwing off its pacifist pledge and rearming. China throwing its weight around the Pacific, making deals with everyone, including our old friends, the South Koreans, the people that we shed so much blood for, the South Koreans. And China recently signed a new deal to trade outside the dollar. The Chinese premier, you see, stopped by South Korea on his way to visit his friends in North Korea. What should we do about it? Well, perhaps we should consider removing those 33,000 Americans who guard this G20 country. Or perhaps we should at least tell the South Koreans that anti-dollar deals with Americans guarding them will not be tolerated. Whatever, we will do something. Time will tell what that is. Perhaps John Kerry can be dispatched to South Korea to offer them money and defuse one more crisis before it's too late. In conclusion, folks, the world is headed for something. I can feel it. I'm sorry to have to report it, but that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.